Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there are a chosen few that will stand against the vampires, the demons, and the forces of darkness. These are the voyages of the crew of Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. Yes, that was Lana Del Rey doing what she does best, talking about dying and things. That was Born to Die. I thought that was apt for the topic we're going to be looking at this evening. Welcome to the show. We're going to journey and depart into a place that is far from sanctified or spiritual for that matter. Or is it? So welcome to show number 105. And yes, it is live and it is so gay because we asked tonight, are vampires so gay and inferior to our soulless undead zombie friends? So we've a lot to work on there. Or as Professor Van Helsing once said in Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula, there is work, wild work to be done. And joining me tonight in this mission is Mitch, my co-host. Welcome again.
Hello.
It's great to have you here. And Joe, I haven't forgotten you.
Oh, hi.
Thank you for coming in, Joe.
Not at all.
And why are you in here? Well, partly because, you know, it's always good to have another woman in the studio, of course, who's got some radio experience, but also to talk about yourself as an artist, cartoonist.
Oh, heavens.
And you're going to help us out with the whole vampire versus zombies thing.
Yes.
All right.
I don't know very much, but I have a lot of opinions.
Referee, maybe we can sway you. Maybe our arguments can maybe you can tell us.
Yeah, I think by the end of this evening, who knows what might happen.
You'll have a stronger opinion, that's for sure.
All right. So, yes, we're just going to say this tonight. Look, I'm taking a devil's advocate, and that is I'm saying that vampires have become too so gay in the derogatory form compared to zombies, which are far more hip. You know, they're the new rotting, walking hipsters, aren't they, really? Without the furry neck beards. Yes. But they probably eat more too. However, there are some anomalies in there, and Mitch is going to be my counterpoint. He's saying that there's nothing wrong with the way vampires are portrayed today.
Leave
them the hell alone, because hell is where the heart is on Sci-Fi and Squeam. Now, we do have some prizes. Yes, we have two DVDs. One is In Their Sleep, whatever the French equivalent of that is, I do not know, but it's a film by Caroline and Eric Dupote. It stars Anne Paralua, Arthur DuPont and Terry Fremont, and it is all thanks to Hopscotch Australia. It's a chilling, intense and skillfully crafted psychological horror that delivers a compelling combination of scares, emotion, tension and twists, and the French are good at twisting things, always. Très bien for that from Hopscotch. So you can be in the running for that if you are a current Joy member. We'll pay it up and everything, and haven't won anything in 2 weeks. You're laughing over there, Joe.
That's good that you, yes, don't want pigs just winning everything.
We give it away. We give it away otherwise. And the other one is one of my favourites, Battle Royale. It is the original cult classic from 2000, the year 2000. It's a director's cut from Madman Entertainment Australia, and it's all about the near future. Japan is in a state of collapse with high unemployment and a generation of youth out of control. When were they not? The government enacts the Battle of Royale program. Each year, a randomly chosen school class is pitted against itself on an abandoned island in a cruel game of survival. Sounds familiar. With former teacher Takisha Katano overseeing the game, this is a fight to the death with only one victor. This DVD has heaps of awesome special features, like the making of and special effects too. So that's thanks to Mad Men.
They're really good prizes. Just let us know that you want the prizes and we'll...
And which one do you want? You can't have both.
The Battle Royale. That one sounds really good by Mad Men Entertainment.
Sounds familiar to something I've just seen.
Ooh, what's coming up?
But is it? It's coming up. What's coming up?
What's coming up?
The Hunger Games. That's what's coming up. All right. Check out the trailer first, and we'll be back with you in a moment. This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
I volunteer as tribute.
You're stronger than they are.
There's 24 of us, Gail. Only one comes out.
No!
Take care of them, Gail. Whatever you do, don't let them starve.
Etna 17, the girl on fire!
What did you say to your sister when you volunteered at the reaping?
I told her that I would try to win for her.
And try you will.
I just keep wishing I could think of a way to show them that they don't own me. If I'm gonna die, I want to still be me.
I just can't afford to think like that.
Sci-Fi and Scream, where you get to hear trailers on air, on the radio, trailers of movies that are, well, in this case, quite massive, and that's The Hunger Games. Now, I just managed to race into the studio only about 40 minutes ago from seeing this film. They didn't tell me it was going to be that long, damn it, but hey, it was worth it. So, my review is going to be pretty much off the cuff. Joe's nodding, going, yeah, look at those post-it notes. All right. How on earth did you manage to read those? Look, I got a lovely bunch of stickers as well and some popcorn, and that was really nice. So it was a full capacity over at the cinema where it played for the first time in the world, I believe, here in Australia, was its premiere this evening. Now, it's based, of course, on the amazing Susan Collins book, The Hunger Games, and as you know, you can already hear in my voice that I am biased because I like the books very much. This is the first installment, so it's the first book, so it's the first film. It's directed by Gary Ross, produced by John Killick and Nina Jacobson. Susan Collins also throws herself in there as a producer and as part of the screenplay writing team, along with Gary Ross and Billy Ray. It's based on her book, of course. Stars the amazing Jennifer Lawrence from Winter's Bone, Josh Hutcherson, it's always hard to say his name, Liam Hemsworth, who unfortunately does not appear as much in it, but if you have read the books, you'll know why. This is the first one, of course. Woody Harrelson as Haymitch, Elizabeth Banks, Lenny Kravitz as Senna, Stanley Tucci and Donald Sutherland as the evil and dour President Snow. Music by T-Bone Burnett and in collaboration with James Newton Howard, which is pretty interesting. Since he's a blues sort of person. All right, so that was the trailer that we heard before. But we've had some messages, actually, before I keep on going. Mason from Yarraville says, looking forward to the show, guys. Okay, well, this is it. This is the show. You're listening to it. And somebody wants to definitely win Battle Royale, and that's Emma. Cool. You guys sound great. Oh. So far, so good. Well, you know, that's good to be optimistic. Yeah. And Emma says, zombies are definitely more heterosexual.
Bring it, Emma.
What do you think, Mitch?
I think they're very heterosexual, but we can discuss it later.
Yes. Yeah, well, yes. I can throw a couple in there. Non-heterosexual ones. All right. Hold your breath. Hunger Games. Yes, this film is it on the mark? Like a quivering bow of Katniss's arrow going through the forest, hitting some poor squirrel. Does it hit the mark? That's the question. Look, it's the most anticipated film of the year. Hunger Games is the Prometheus for girls. And scanning my eyes around the room, I could see that maybe I was right. But that's not a bad thing, because this is not Bella. No. This is not Bella Swan from the Twilight series. I'm looking at you, Jo. I'm looking at you because I need something to focus on.
Yes,
while I rabble
I'll just
on.
Sit here and smile.
No, this is definitely an improvement. But maybe we're just getting older. We're moving on. And we're going to leave our little princess crown behind because we're going to take up the bow. And I think a lot of girls will take up archery after this film trilogy. Now, it's the first of the trilogy, of course. This one's by Gary Ross. Gazza to his friends. And there was a lot of, you know, discussion about whether Jennifer Lawrence would be the right fit for someone like Katniss. I imagine her to be someone younger, like Chloe Moritz, but maybe she's too young to play the part. But I think Jennifer does an amazing job. She certainly looks like something out of a Country Road catalogue goes hunting in the forest. Mm-hmm. And that's the first scenes. I thought, now, the problem I had at the beginning was these people looked a little bit too well-fed and glowing. But that's just the Hollywood thing, you know, I guess. But then when you looked at some of the extras in District 12, you noticed that they did look a bit more poorly and thinner. So whoever was doing the casting there was doing the right thing, picking, you know, people that looked quite pale. Now, if you don't know what the story is about, basically it's a fight to the end. Think Battle Royale, but it's a little bit more complicated than that. And we're looking at some time in the future when the United States of America is not the United States of America anymore. It's called Pan Am, not Pan Am. It's just my terrible blocked nose. Sounds pretty bad. P-A-N-E-M. And it's everything's run from the capital. And from the capital, the greedy pigs do live. And they squander and use up all the resources. So all of the parts of America that are left are divided up into different districts, and those different districts supply different items, different types of resource. It could be coal, for example. So in District 12, where our heroine, the protagonist, Katniss Everdeen, comes from, is coal. And of course, if you didn't know that, you'd be wondering, well, who are all these forest people living in shacks? It looks like something out of the 1930s Depression. What are they doing in the forest? You know, what's this all about? Well, it's actually the Appalachian Mountains. It's loosely based in the Appalachians, and the capital is actually in the Rockies, if you know a bit of American geography. Anyway, that's a bit too much detail, I guess, about the film at this point. However, what happens is that every year, annually, two children, they are children between certain ages, only up to the age of 18, are chosen to basically perform amazing feats of survival. And that is basically they're made to kill each other. 24 are chosen from the different districts and are put into a survival arena where they are monitored and watched by everyone. And the wealthy sponsor, those who can afford to sponsor each district, and both genders are chosen from each district, and it's basically whoever's left standing is the survivor.
So like a gladiatorial.
I might get you to come a bit closer to the mic, my dear.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you. But
no,
it's
no,
like
pull
a
that mic a bit closer.
Gladiatorial Please. Contest? So sort of like the ancient Rome. Are they trained?
They do train them up before they go in. They're removed from their families and their homes, and they're put in the capital where, you know, the big city, where they're put aside and put through vigorous training of different martial arts and killing techniques and so forth. And then they're put into a situation where it's like Survivor, but the stakes are much higher because you have to kill in order to win. So it's not quite Big Brother. It's a mixture between Big Brother and Survivor, but quite extreme. And it's a young adult's book, so it's for kids,
yes,
which is really interesting. And now it's made it to the big screen. And one thing I did find a little bit annoying would have to be a lot of handheld camera, which, you know, I don't want to be David Stratton here because I know he hates handheld as a reviewer.
You look so much like David Stratton, though.
I do. It's the glasses.
The grey hair.
And the grey temples and the... Oh, I'm getting there.
Sorry.
And the moustache. But, no, seriously.
Was it used well, though? Because, like, shaky camera.
Do you know what's funny? It's like they almost had a cinematographer work separately in the first part of the film, because it's broken into two parts, right? The first part is the background story to Katniss. She's in the forest hunting unfortunate squirrels and Bambi and whatever. But she looks hot. She does.
The important thing.
She's young, but she's very flexible. No, she looks great. And lovely, you know, earthy colours in the forest. And then, of course, she's taken. The spoiler alert if you haven't read the books. Or she is taken away because she, basically her sister goes into the lottery. And, well, her sister, who's much younger, is actually the one that is picked. But she volunteers instead to be the tribute, as they call them.
Is and there any kind of sanctions against the community if she fails? If any of the kids fail from the districts, are their districts punished?
Well, you see, I don't want to ruin it.
Okay, sorry.
You need to read the books.
I do. I've not read them.
You need to read the books, seriously.
I love how in young adult fiction there is more of an emphasis on heroism, the self-sacrifice. That's what's so good about them.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And often young adult fiction, like I've always been rabbiting on about in previous shows on this show, often it's so much more... yeah, it's just so much more. There's such a relativity that's grittier, grimier, up front. Children are killing children in this film. You actually see it.
Yeah.
Now, I believe the British version of this film has been edited. They've actually taken bits out, which is disappointing.
I say.
Look, it's not like a horror film. It's a dystopical vision that, I guess, a remarkable writer like Susan Collins has come across. Now, they haven't included all the, you know, really, really nasty bits, but there's still, you know, spoiler, there's still killing happening between children. Children breaking each other's necks, strangulation, tracker jacks. If you don't know what those are,
I
have to go to the movie and see it.
And how old are these children?
Well, they're between the age, I think they have to be between the age of 12 to 18.
So they're 12 to 18. So you wouldn't expect like a 7-year-old kid running up to the other kid and I'm going to break your neck. Whoa,
no,
the dude.
All you need is a flick of the boot, really, to put them in line. So look, it's amazing to look at. It reminds me of East Germany. After the after the war. It's got a very post-war, post-modernist look about it until they get to the capital, and then it's like Willy Wonka's gone crazy. Seriously, Willy Wonka's gone mad. It's over-the-top rococo, the furnishings and everything is garish and glary and neon and quite
sounds
gay.
Amazing.
So gay.
Oh, it sounds so good.
Yes.
And you're like, sounds so horrible.
It's garish. It's over-the-top. It's glittery and you know, men are wearing makeup.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
It's fantastic. I love it.
All right. So if you want to go and see this film, by all means, I would say that they've hit the mark. It takes a bit of time. The first part, again, the handheld was really starting to get to me. Oh. Suddenly out of focus, back in focus. Maybe it's just because I've got influenza. But I'm sure I saw other people going, with their neck, you know, creaking back and forth. Well, whatever. Let's see what happens. And so then when it got to the part where they actually are in the survivor, you know, the arena itself, where they're being monitored by cameras and the whole world is watching, it actually improves by leaps and bounds. So, yeah, bullseye.
Excellent.
I'm giving this.
So you liked it then?
I'm giving it 4 out of 5.
Whoa.
That's big.
Whoa.
But I like the books. So if anyone else wants to disagree with me.
It doesn't always follow that you like a film that it's made from a favourite book. Sometimes you the way you imagine it, the pictures are all so much different from the way the filmmakers imagine it.
That is
that you
true.
Just go, no, they didn't look like that. That's rubbish. But,
I must admit, there is one little thing I have to say, and that is, look, Liam Hemsworth is just too good looking. Do you know what I mean?
The startlingly good looking.
As Gale, he's hardly in the film at all, actually. I'm not spoiling anything much there, but if you want to see a lot of him, I think you probably leave the second film when it does. I'm sure it'll get made because the crowd were clapping at the end, the audience I was with. So I'm sure it'll be really getting positive reviews, hopefully. And it's out now through in Australia. Well, it will be out 22nd. Mm-hmm. That's this Thursday. Mm-hmm. And it's through Roadshow, mm-hmm. Village Roadshow.
Where did you see it, if you don't mind me asking?
I saw it in a cinema.
In a cinema.
Over in South Yarra.
Ah, a cinema.
In South Yarra.
Fantastic. And everyone applauded at the end. That's they did. Very film festival they of did. Them. That's excellent.
And I bumped into a lovely chap there who used to have a show here many moons ago called The Casting Couch, Thomas Coldwell. He's on Triple R. He's got a show on there, Plato's Cave. So people should look that up. Don't ask me when it's on, but he does a lot of great film reviews and stuff.
Wow.
Cool. He seemed impressed, but he hadn't read the books. Ah. So I think he will be now. All right. When we come back, Mitch will be talking.
Whoa.
Whoa. And we'll be doing those gay vampires.
It'd be great.
It'll be great.
It'll be great.
This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
You still get nightmares?
Do you still get nightmares? After that song, Thriller. I mean, it wasn't my choice, by the way, but that was Michael Jackson. Mitch's choice. Thanks, Mitch.
Well, the theme is zombies.
Yeah.
And he does dance with the zombies. And that's not very masculine, I have to say. Michael Jackson, zombies. My argument's already started.
That's good. Yeah, you're right there.
That's such a good sound bite. Play it one more time.
No. Oh, yeah.
Oh, it sounds like me in the morning.
Yeah, they have too much popcorns on you.
Too much garlic. I don't know.
Ding, ding, ding. We also have a winner for the Battle Royale. We've had a couple of messages in, but we've still got In Their Sleep.
Yeah, In Their Sleep. For the win.
So come on, people, message in.
And this is Sci-Fi and Squeam, where you can win such things as horror movies. Right. Joe's nodding her head. Yeah. Now we haven't asked Joe what she does.
Oh, God, help
why is she on the show?
Just because I like to natter. Yeah. I just thought I'd wander in off the streets and say, hey,
hi.
I've never been on the gay radio before. No, I'm
a true.
Comic artist. Mm-hmm. And you
Explain.
Interviewed me a while ago. Mm. I'm a cartoonist, comic artist. I draw comics. Yeah, I know.
And where can people see these?
Well, not that many places.
Oh, online anywhere, my dear?
Yes, I've got a blog.
Yes?
Yes. What's called, your blog address? You may call me Frank.
Frank is the name of the blog.
You may call me Frank. Because I started it mostly about tea and how you can't get a decent cup of tea in this city.
No, you
get
have to
coffee,
make it.
Coffee, every flavour of coffee. Yeah. But can you get a decent cup of tea? No.
I don't know. I have to disagree with that. I get tea all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Oh,
it's either Earl Grey or English breakfast.
Oriental Sick Tea House, them. Dude.
Oriental Tea House?
Oh, well, look, you write that down.
I'm going to write that down. Ooh, well, I like my oolong. I like my jasmine. But sometimes I really feel like Darjeeling.
I just want gumboot.
Gumboot. In a billion, you swing it round your head, put gum leaves in it.
I just love country traditions, you know.
And Nescafe. You go to cafe.
No, I don't drink
coffee. You want coffee?
I don't drink coffee. I don't drink coffee.
No, I don't either.
But we're getting off the subject.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
The subject is vampires are gay.
But just quickly.
That's so gay.
Joe, how can we find your work online?
Yeah, what she's already said
the
that.
The blog, but is there a web address?
Well,
or
not really. I should have a website, shouldn't I? That would be good. But mostly, I would say you could see my work at Sticky Institute, which is a green shop.
Sorry.
And that's cool.
Just over the information.
I have no information.
Sticky
Institute. I'm working in Melbourne for 20 years, and no, nothing to show for it.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Meanwhile,
to the groan.
How gay? I don't think zombies are very gay.
Well, convince not talking me. About, we're going to talk about vampires first.
Oh, vampires first.
Vampires
yes. And I'm going to tell you films that aren't gay.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, because I'm the devil's advocate here. Satan is my friend. And Nosferatu, the original,
is not
yes,
gay,
1922,
right.
F.W. Murnau was actually a gay film director.
I say.
German. Its actual full name is Nosferatu, A Symphony of Horror. It stars the amazing 6'7" Max Schreck. And the director was, like I said, F. Murnau, and he was 6 foot three. I don't know why I remember those sort of things. The second not gay vampire movie is Dracula, the Todd Browning from 1931.
Todd Browning.
Okay. I just want to say that.
Is that your argument? On your little post-it note?
On my post-it note.
Okay, I need
you
to play.
No, no. And Bram Stoker, yes, Bram Stoker's Dracula from 1897, is his vampire is not a fawning, glittering little flower that doesn't want to deflower girls. He wants to deflower them.
Okay, play the first sound. Play the first
which
sound.
Which one?
Which one? I'm going to say.
Which one?
About shiny boys.
Oh, Bell Shine, is it?
Hella.
Which one is it? No, seriously.
Yeah, 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 that one.
Oh, okay. Why do you want me to play this?
Play this. This is a reference to what are shiny boys?
Like diamonds. They're beautiful.
Beautiful. This is the skin of a killer, Bella.
And I have to
say, the skin of a killer.
The skin of a killer. You just said that's not very good. I think it's the skin of a killer, miss. A beautiful diamond skin of a killer.
But a skin of a killer. A killer does not go around not getting his way with virgins. Like, he doesn't wait and wait until she's ready. He makes sure that he or she, if you've read Carmilla by Sheridan Le Fanu from 1871, you'll know that you don't act all sort of sweet and charming.
Unless
that's not
you're
how
gay.
You seduce. What?
Unless you're a gay vampire.
Unless you're Edward Cullen. With Bella. I mean, look how he pussyfoots around. Oh, look at my shiny skin. And he's always woeful and like, oh, it's really sad, but I've got fast cars. And, you know, I mean, look at this hairdo. I mean, is that gay or what?
You should be defending masculinity in vampires.
Look at Nosferatu's hairdo.
Yeah.
He's totally bald.
Yeah. He's
very phallic.
Hair.
Now that's phallic.
Oh. And his batty little ears.
That's masculine.
Yeah, he was very a bit kind of stupid though, don't you think? He wasn't witty and charming.
He didn't talk
and
at all.
Sophisticated. No, that's a few. That's a, well, that's true. The
that's
mystery.
A good man. Good man doesn't talk much. A woman does that. But yeah, so no, I mean, all glittery, shiny. I don't know.
I'm afraid that doesn't.
And then
go,
what does he do? Then he goes to Italy. You know, in the second film or the second book.
Can't believe you've watched this.
I had to for research reasons.
Oh, research
then,
purposes.
Yeah. Then he goes to Italy to try and kill himself by exposing himself in a piazza in Italy. Why couldn't he just do it like outside his bedroom window when the sun came up?
The backyard.
There's no romance in your soul. You have to go to Italy to kill yourself.
But that's gay, right?
Yes. Vampires are gay. This is my argument. Vampires are gay.
Oh, but you're supposed to be defending. Yeah.
I'm defending them. I'll
I'm
start.
Not.
Let me start.
Please.
All right, you
please.
Start. You've got 1 minute.
Oh.
No, because we've got some announcements. Okay, in that 1 minute, or 40 seconds now, in that 40 seconds, make your open statement.
I have to say, homosexuality was suppressed for many years by a Christian culture in the Western society, and vampires originated from Western Europe in the 18th century. So it was really expressing their emotions,
expressing milk.
That they have feeling as well. And going back then, you would be, by expressing homosexual emotions, you were kind of defying the Christian standards, defying the Christian beliefs about vampires in general, the mythology. And this, in turn, shows that they're a more emotional being, showing that they were more than monsters, showing that such things can develop from a vampire. If you'd like, we'll discuss this after the ad break.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Yes, Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. So don't forget, In Their Sleep is still up. That DVD, a horror DVD, and that's through Hopscotch Entertainment Australia.
Are you saying, Mitch, that what the vampires are expressing is a kind of sexual transgression. So it's like a symbolism for repressed homosexuality, in that it's now it's expressing sexuality by talking about the wanting to live at night and to feed off the blood of others. I don't know, it's a bit witchy as well.
Well, I think it's also a very interesting topic because looking away from Twilight, back at some of the original homosexual kind of like innuendo in the older literature, like looking at Anne Rice, Interview with the Vampire, this is a good one because, you know, they never actually state that they're gay. They never actually state that they're straight, but they've got such a sexual influence towards women, towards men, and this is one of their appeals. Like, in Dracula didn't touch the men ever. Physically, he would never actually touch the men. He would kill them with medicine, animals, throw things at them, but physically he would actually never touch them. And that was a very heterosexual stand in literature of the time. And I think as it progressed, it showed more emotion, showed more feeling. I think would you mind playing my second soundbite?
Oh, which is that?
Stefan.
Is it Stefan or? Oh, there he is. Sensitive.
Sensitive Stefan.
I'm sorry. What I did was selfish. I didn't want to be alone. Guess I just knew my brother.
Sensitive Stefan. He just needed his brother.
But who's Stefan?
Stefan is a character from Vampire Diaries. Oh, one of the other trends hitting the world, and Vampire Diaries has sensitive vampires. Masculine, naked, sensitive, yet gay vampires.
Very gay.
The women like them. They're fighting over women. They're brothers.
Well, at least they're fighting over women.
And exactly. So they've got this gay emotional sensitivity while being quite masculine and...
There's something icky about those two brothers.
I know, right? How good
is that? There's something weird going on between the two of them. I don't know what it is.
I thought that was the whole point of vampires, is that they're transgressive. We're talking about the Anne Rice vampires. We're talking about a creature that is so seductive that neither men nor women can resist their influence.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, it's not about sexuality. No. It's not sexuality. It's about how sexual they are.
Oh.
And how sexual they can be and the influence that they have on others. So.
Yes.
And that's what I think of this one. Oh. And also, just like to throw it out there, while I was researching homosexual vampires, in 1960, the first gay movie which had a gay vampire was the porn name. Yes. Does Dracula Really Suck? Which was so popular, it was remade into another movie called Dracula Sucks and Dracula and the Boys. So that was
I bet they sucked. Those films.
Did they suck? Yes.
All through the film. Oh. And that was in the 1960s sexual revolution, and also like really expressing the gay sexual urges of a vampire, which no other film would show.
Yeah, but it's that's now we're talking about the meme changing, as in now we're talking about vampires and they're not like an old guy or a bat-headed guy. We're talking about an attractive person, attractive sensitive. Male, attractive, feminine. Sensitive, and feminine sophisticated.
Feminine-faced, soft-faced. Leonardo DiCaprio looks like a lesbian sort of face. I mean, they're gay.
Yes.
They don't represent the majority. They don't represent the heterosexual creators that made these made these images and made these creations to start with. These belong to the heterosexual community, not the gay community. So what gives the gay people the right to hijack
Oh, Lord, this is the devil's advocate. What gives gay people the right to, say that things belong to them? They're outcasts. How dare they?
Leave our fangs alone. I could say something else
straight
there.
Fangs alone. But I was also thinking about
Ernest
women.
Jones. Oh, what about Ernest Jones? Ernest Jones wrote a book On the Nightmare. It was called On the Nightmare, published in 1931. He was a Freudian psychoanalyst who argued that the latent content of legends and superstitions about vampires indicates most kinds of sexual perversions, he says, includes necrophilia, oral sadism, repressed desires and hatreds derived from early incest conflicts. They represent the need of man to purge himself of his severest repressions. That is straight. That is heterosexual.
Oh, okay. So necrophiliacs are always heterosexual.
I'm not saying that.
Heterosexual necrophiliacs.
But I'm saying.
And yeah, and the incest taboo is always a straight incest taboo. This is interesting. Well, there's bloody Freudians for you. What do they know?
I don't know. I but
say we go to a song and then start on zombie. Zombie heterosexuals.
Oh, we're done with vampires now.
Yeah. Oh, we've only got like 6 minutes to do zombies.
I think we've done.
That's not fair, is it? I haven't done much on the zombie aspect, so Mitch will have to talk the zombies up. But what do we want to listen to now?
We Love Like Vampires.
Where's that? We Love Like Vampires.
We're just going to sing it in the studio.
Sparks to the Rescue. Oh, Sparks the Rescue. Is that the name of the band? Cool. And who are they?
Sparks to the Rescue. We Love Like Vampires.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. It's the Sparks. Sparks to the Rescue with a vampire song.
We like love vampires.
Good on them. That was another Mitch choice. I like your choices tonight.
Ah, thank you. I'm glad.
Except I missed the Vincent Price bit at the end of Thriller, but Thriller's such a long song. We couldn't do that. But moving along now, we've decided that, I don't know who's won, but we've decided that it's okay, maybe, if vampires are a bit gay.
I think the audience can decide.
Yeah, if you're listening, let us know. You can Facebook us too. Just Facebook Sci-Fi and Scream, of course. Now, alrighty, so zombies. It doesn't leave us much time, about 5 minutes, basically. But
play the groan.
The groan again. The groan. The zombie groan for brains. We like this. I still think that's me in the morning, but tomorrow morning especially. Now, you were saying off air, Mitch, I don't think there's any gay zombies. And you said, Joe, I don't think zombies have sexuality.
Yes.
Wrong and wrong.
Here we go.
Bruce LaBruce has made two. Now, Bruce LaBruce, the great American enfant terrible of all things porn and movies, and gay movies and gay porn, made two films. One was banned here in Australia called LA Zombie with the wonderful Francois Sagat, who was up in the studio a few days ago, which was very exciting. And he plays a blue alien zombie with a crooked penis who, excuse me, fornicates people to life. So he basically makes a hole in a dead man's body and screws them and they come back to life. So he's giving powers
story.
Of love and
cry.
Brings them to life. And the other one is also Bruce LaBruce, Otto up with dead things, and he's just a teenage boy who likes to be wanked off by men. But he's a zombie, of course. So
and that's how they roll.
Bits fall off, but you know, that's how they roll.
To summarise my argument, I say, right. Looking at House of Dead, rather than movies, like games, we've got House of Dead, where many versions of this game has been released. They're all quite brainless. All the RPG games, the undead are brainless and dumb. You just go, you kill them, and you wait for an ending. My argument, your argument...
is an argument.
Is an argument. You have to decide, audience.
Yes. And two porn films. I don't know if that does make an argument. I thought the zombie oeuvre was a place where boys took girls for them to go, and then they accidentally squeezed their bosoms while they're screaming and while they're being comforted.
Isn't is this that what, in a cinema? Is
yes,
that what you're alluding
to? Yes, in a cinema.
Not a graveyard.
Not a graveyard. Although there is quite a bit of...
Have you ever taken a date to a graveyard?
Oh, I wish.
Horrible.
No, it's great, especially when it's really dark.
Oh, it's so scary.
No, not at all.
Hey, don't forget, you're going to do that ghost tour soon. Mitch is going to do a ghost tour.
One day.
Yeah, very peaceful.
Oh, they do.
For sure.
Layabouts.
Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. Thank you to Joe for coming in.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, we're almost
I
at the end.
I had a lovely end.
Time. You'll have to come back.
Oh, heavens.
You almost had to pull us off each other. Metaphorically speaking.
Yes, you're right. I did. Gosh.
Thanks, Joe.
How cantankerous your in your opinions. It's good. It's good now, to see people passionate.
Next week, I've turned you off now, Joe.
Oh.
Next week, we've got The Raid. I'm doing a review about a film called The Raid, and we've got some great passes to give away. Choose Your Weapon, March 22. It's already out on Thursday, but I'll do a review next week. And Emma from Gen Next will be in to do a review of The Devil Inside. So that's going to be cool. And we'll have some more comic people coming in. Some of the guys will be in talking about their genre comics. And Mitch will be here doing something, I hope.
Making some funny sounds.
You will. Some groans. Oh, you're almost as good as this. I love it. He's not going to do it now. All right, that's enough of that. Thanks for listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.